Well, everybody, welcome to episode 349 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help make you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. All right, we're going to talk some boys tennis and girls golf today. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Madeline Ross and Coach Kelly Emke from the Ankeny Girls Golf Team. But right now, we're going to break down this week's boys state tennis tournament with my first two guests. To my left is the head coach of the Ankeny squad. He is Ron Miller. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. And to my right is a junior and the number one player for the Hawks, who boasts a 10-5 record. He has qualified for state for the second straight year. He is Garrett Weikers. Garrett, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Before we preview the state tournament, let's talk about how we got here. Garrett, let's start with you. You placed second in singles on May 16th in a Class 2A district tournament at Iowa City West. Now, you came in as the number one seed. So were you pretty confident going in that you'd get the job done?
I mean, the top two players were fairly equal. He had a higher UTR than I did, but judging how it did based on the regular season towards the end, getting to the one seed, but that was mostly in the back of my mind for most of the day. Like, the goal was just to get to state to make that championship game, and then I'd figure it out from there.
Sure. And Coach, I know you missed the district tournament because you were up in Michigan for your father's funeral, and I'm so sorry for your loss, but you told me that you were watching the scores from afar. And I know the district tournament is always a puzzle for you to figure out, you know, the best places to put your guys. You know, did the other teams do what you thought they would do with their guys? And what was your confidence level as far as Garrett's ability to make it to state?
They did exactly what we thought they would do. We had what we'll call some insider information. Nice to have friends in the coaching community that know all the other coaches, and their players know other players. So we got some inside information that their one and two players were going to go doubles. And Garrett and I went over this for weeks. We were going back and forth talking about what should we go singles, doubles. And we started with singles, and then we decided doubles, and then we talked to some other coaches, and they said, well, these guys are going doubles. So we said, all right, and then our best chance to get to state is singles. So we did that.
And you're talking about Iowa City West.
Yeah, Iowa City West, because they were the only really threat team. We knew a couple of individuals that Garrett's friends with and another team, but we weren't really worried about the rest of them. Their one or two kids are really, they're really good. And we probably, if they had both gone singles, we wouldn't be there, just based on records and their qualifications, along the way. So we did that, it ended up being just kind of a long-term, process of going back and forth until we guessed right. That's really what it comes down to.
It worked out well for you.
Yeah, it did.
Well, Garrett, you got a bye in the first round, and then you posted a 6-1 victory over Matthew Dockery Jackson of Iowa City West in the quarterfinals. I'm guessing he's not their number one guy. You then punched your ticket to state by defeating the fourth seed, Benjamin Young of Waterloo West. That was 7-5, 6-0 in the semifinals. And I know you told me afterwards that both of those guys put up a pretty good fight. You know, those weren't easy matches by any means, were they?
Absolutely not. I mean, in the first or the quarterfinals, you'd expect more of an easier match. Just they've got four matches out there at once in the first round, and out of all those players out there, I think he's the best one. So it's unfortunate that I had to play him that early, but I was able to take care of business, and it didn't look like a close match, but the points were a lot more competitive, it seemed.
And was there anything in particular that Young was doing in the semifinals, you know, that made that first set, you know, so close? And did you make any adjustments for that second set?
I think really the difference between the first and second was just the momentum. Like, the first set was super tight. It was a battle the whole time between, like, it was a game's length the whole time. And then I think at one point I was down 4-5, and then I needed, got a little motivation, won three games. And then in the second set, he really lost his play, and I kind of just coasted to the end.
Well, Coach, I'm sure you knew that the number one seed, you know, didn't guarantee Garrett anything when he stepped on the court. Did you worry at all about him being overconfident, or is he the kind of player that, you know, doesn't get too far ahead of himself?
I actually worry way more about him being underconfident than overconfident. I don't think he's ever been overconfident in his life unless he's playing me. but other than that, he's usually pretty, he's one of the most humble kids we ever had. And, you know, he took on from Dylan Victor from last year, and Dylan was the same way. As it, he never was overconfident. He just played as hard as he could, and whatever happened, happened.
And then finals, Garrett, you drop a 6-4, 6-0 decision to sophomore Pravis Gupta of Iowa City West, who was the number two seed. You told me afterwards that you played your best tennis of the day in the first set of the final, but, you know, given the heat and your tough matches before, you said you kind of ran out of gas toward the end. So were the conditions pretty brutal over there that day?
Yeah, super hot out. Obviously, I was expecting to have a lighter match for my first, but that kid made it a lot tougher than I had expected. Yeah, the heat would just wore down on me all day. And obviously, he was a really good player, like forgetting about seeds or whatever. I think he had a higher ETR. And the first set was really a battle. I figured out my shots and stuff. But then after that, it was just kind of ran out of gas.
Well, yeah, even in good conditions, I mean, you play three hard matches, you're going to be tired there at the end of the day. And I know you've had some matches earlier in the season where you had some pretty cold temperatures where you had to bundle up a little bit. And I used to play tennis in high school, and I know I hated to play in that kind of weather where you had to have sweats or sweatshirt on. So what would you consider to be, you know, the best conditions to play? What do you like?
I'm not too picky. Obviously, you want the least amount of wind possible because that just really changes the game. But I feel like I'm always the one getting yelled at to put a sweatshirt on when it's super cold. So I try not to be super bothered by it, but I feel like I do better under heat rather than cold.
Well, it looks like it's supposed to be, you know, sunny and 75 degrees tomorrow morning, but Coach is telling me that the singles will be played indoors at the Hawkeye Tennis Center, so I guess, you know, you guys don't have to worry about that. But, and Coach, I'm sure you would have liked to have seen Garrett win that last match in singles at districts. You know, that loss meant that he would have to be paired up against the district champ at state, right?
It did. We were one draw off from getting the perfect first round. Johnston qualified their 3 and 4 players, which you already beat both of those, at least one of them, pretty badly during the year. So we were one number off of getting him for the first round, and pretty much, I would say, as far as I'm concerned, guaranteed win. But we got out of the four seeds, Garrett Bauermeister is by far the best draw you could have gotten. The first three are incredible. I think all three of those have beaten Bauermeister easily. So if we had to draw a seed, that was the only one we could hope for.
Well, we'll talk about those guys here in a minute. And before we move on to the state tournament, Coach, I want to ask you about the performance of some of your other guys at district, even though you weren't there. Both your doubles teams won their opening match, including the duo of Perez and Carter Garcia. They overcame a one-set deficit to beat a team from Waterloo West in three sets. And they closed it out with a 17-15 win in a marathon tiebreaker. And then your other doubles team of Grady Schlosser and Michael Black won the opening set of their quarterfinal match against the 4 seed from Cedar Rapids Kennedy. But the Cougars then rallied to win a second set tiebreaker and the ensuing third set tiebreaker. You know, but you have to feel like your whole team, you know, really made a lot of progress this year.
Oh yeah, that's kind of our goal, and that's day one. I think Garrett will agree with me that the first thing I tell everybody is that we start off, and our whole goal is to be better at the end of the season than we were at the beginning. And I kind of repeat that a few times during the year, don't I? Yeah. So it is. And they did. You know, we had a bad, not the best off season with some kids that had normally played year round and didn't this year. So we started really slow, and then we just kept building and building. We actually played some of our best tennis the last 2 weeks. So
let's talk about state now. You guys are headed over there here in a little bit to get ready for the tournament, which starts at 10 a.m. in the morning. Now, Garrett, you made it to state last year in doubles with your former teammate, Dylan Victor. Do you think the experience that you gained last year will help you? And do you think maybe, you know, you'll be less nervous going into your first match tomorrow?
I think it'll definitely seen that type of environment before. Obviously, I'd say last year was a little short within the first two. We had a tough draw, I'd say, but it'll help to either be the first time I'm there.
Did you learn anything from that experience last year? Was there anything that surprised you about it?
Doubles is obviously going to be way different look than singles, but I think what I'm looking forward to is just kind of being the underdog, I feel like I have a lot of pressure when I'm expected to win the match, but I feel like I play my best tennis when I'm kind of the underdog and I'm able to just hit freely.
And Coach, the brackets came out a few days ago, and Garrett obviously, you know, didn't get a seed as a district runner-up, and you kind of toughed on this a moment ago, but did the top four seeds come out the way you expected them to?
Pretty much exactly the way everybody expected them to, yeah.
Well, Garrett, you did draw a tough first-round opponent as you play the fourth seed. Coach mentioned Garrett Bauermeister of Linmar. He has a similar record to you. He's 10-4. You know, have you been able to do some research and find out anything about him? Do you know much about him?
I know he's left-handed, so that'll be interesting to just to, like, spin and the thing. I think what I have to do is ask him to play longer points, and I can't give him free ones. I have to make him battle for every shot.
Both, I know some of the other sports like football, you know, have websites that they can go to find some film on their upcoming opponents. Is there anything like that, you know, available to boys tennis coaches, or is it a little harder to research and find out stuff?
If there is, I certainly don't know about it. We do know Garrett because we played them in Substate last year. So Dylan Victor played Garrett Bauermeister last year in the Substate match. And so we kind of got a look at him to see what he was. And then we saw a little bit of him last year at the state. He went out really fast because he got the most unlucky draw in the whole tournament. He drew this year's number one seed for his first round last year. And he was the number four seed last year as well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he drew Dylan Schulte, which no one in the planet wanted to play except his brother.
Right, right. Now, Garrett, if you are able to pull off an upset, you would meet either Ben Smalley of Cedar Falls or Ryan Grip of Davenport Central in the quarterfinals. That's two guys I've never heard of. Do you happen to know anything about them?
Yeah, I obviously don't want to look too far ahead because I got a top five player. But I know Ben Smalley's really good, probably just as good as Garrett, like really close. But I think playing Ryan, I'd have a good chance of winning. I think his UTR is slightly worse than mine, and it's definitely one I would be able to pull out if I played one.
I'm sure you'd love to play either one of them in the quarterfinals. Well, Coach, I know you don't want Garrett to look too far ahead past that first match, but that's obviously going to be a big hurdle. I did want to get your thoughts, though, on the whole bracket, though. You kind of touched on some of those guys. Dylan Schulte of Cedar Rapids Prairie is the top seed. Of course, last year he got to the finals as a freshman, lost to his brother. The two seed is Martin Bikus of Waukee Northwest by way of the Netherlands. I probably botched his pronunciation there. The three seed is William Figler of Iowa City High, who won the singles title at your district meet a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, so how would you analyze the whole bracket? Do you feel like Schulte's, you know, pretty much the favorite to win, or do you think it's a little more open than that?
It's going to be tight between Schulte and Bikus.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fiegler's he's a close third, but he's lost to a couple of people in tournaments and stuff. So Bikus we just saw twice in the last 2 weeks. Well, we saw him once. We didn't have to play him the first time, thank goodness. He sat out, but we saw him in the Substate round, and Garrett probably hopes he never sees him again. I hope he never has to see him again. He is one of the biggest hitting kids we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years. Very, very accurate, very good. Dylan Schulte is he's phenomenal too. They both play a ton of tournaments all over, and they both do exceptionally well. So, I really don't see anybody upsetting those two. And, if he wins a couple of rounds and we get to Thursday, we'll probably stay and watch that final. So yeah. No pressure, but you gotta get us to Thursday. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Well, Gary, I was just going to ask you about that match against Bikus, because you did play him in the Substate team tournament. And I know you weren't able to win any games from him. You know, what impressed you the most about him? Was it just his overall game?
It's unbelievable accuracy. It's at super high, obviously. I know the week before we played him, and I played Vivek Northwest 3, just outside the top 10. That was one of the best matches we've ever played. And I almost pulled out, forced it to a third set tiebreaker. And then week after that for Substate, I played Martin. He's just unbelievable. He just hits the line whenever and wherever he wants to. I feel like I was kind of in the wrong headspace, like with doubles first now for Substate. We were already down 3-0, so it was just like first two singles to lose,
yeah.
And everything was over. So I feel like I was kind of in more of like a stalling mode in a way, which obviously isn't the right.
Yeah, but it was, I'm not a fan of doubles first. I understand if it was run like the college does, where you play one set and you're only playing doubles, but you really want your best play to come in the singles matches. You don't want your kids tired from playing doubles to then go out and then be twice as tired playing singles. It's a lot easier to play a hard singles match and go play doubles where you're half, you're playing half as hard, sort of.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know why they thought that was a great thing to do, but unless you're a very top team and you're 12 deep or 15 deep like Northwest is, where they can play different players in singles and doubles, I think it's a terrible idea for the state. But
it was fun for us to experiment this year because obviously we got a horrible draw.
Yeah. Like worst draw possible in the first round. But I just don't. I mean, everybody wanted to play that during this regular season, and we avoided it up until the last 2 weeks.
So. Well, speaking of Northwest, you've been coaching for a while. I mean, have you ever seen a team that's that deep and that talented?
No, their teams they've been the best ones in most of my 6 years. They didn't win every single year, but typically they were one or two every single year. They seemed to graduate six players last year and didn't drop. They actually, I think, are better this year than they were. I think, no offense to anybody that left, but I think the kids that filled in are actually better players and they're stronger and deeper.
Well, they're doing something right over there. I was covering the state track meet this weekend, and their girl put on a show down there. I mean, they won by like twice as many points as the next team.
So. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Garrett, I'll let you go on this one. What's your goal for this week? What do you hope to accomplish?
I think last year, obviously, we fell short. We were close to winning one in doubles, but I mean, should have ended early. I would say just pull off a win, whether it's first round or the consolation, just get that first win at state.
I looked it up, I couldn't remember, but you played a team from Northwest in that second round last year, right? In your second match?
Yeah. That's also a tough one.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it. And a good luck over there in Iowa City.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
All right, listen to the AK Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my next guest is a realtor at Legacy Realty, and she has been on the podcast a few times before. She is Janae Griffith. Janae, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, I know you've been busy. I haven't been able to track you down here for a while. You've really been on the go a lot, haven't you?
I have. I think you called me once, and I was in Arizona, and I can't even remember.
You're in Texas, too.
Yeah, those Texas trips were not necessarily for fun and vacation. It was helping out my parents, but Arizona was fun. We bought a house in Arizona, and this past weekend I was in the Gulf Shores, Alabama. First time there, it was fabulous.
Oh, wow. Down in Paul Rhodes' country, huh?
Yes.
Nice. Well, you're telling me off air that your son, Quincy, is now at Iowa Central. Of course, he was previously at Drake. I know that their football coaching staff had a changeover. So, yeah, I'd be curious to hear more about that. So how did he land at Iowa Central?
Well, Colby Cratch, was formerly at Iowa State and did not go to Penn State with that crew. I think he had an opportunity to go there and do something. Maybe I don't know the full story, so don't quote me on it, but maybe it was a job he didn't really necessarily want to do there. So he got the head position at Iowa Central in Fort Dodge and reached out to Quincy. Knew Quincy, lost his job in that coaching transition at Drake. And so at the time it was, why not? It's going to be a great experience for him. Quincy's never coached at a junior college in the past, and he's pretty excited about it now. After getting up there and meeting his players, he says he's got a lot of good talent, and they historically have always been doing really well. Mm-hmm. I think everybody knows that the Reavers in Council Bluffs, I can't even think of the name of the school.
Yeah, Iowa Western.
Yeah. Western, the Reavers, Iowa Western. They usually win the conference and everything, and then Iowa Central is usually second. So they've had a good foundation and players, and it's just a whole different world, like recruiting and stuff. They recruit only in Iowa. They can only have X amount of players from out of the state. So I know the last 2 weeks, Quincy and the staff have been recruiting all over the state, and Quincy did mostly Central Iowa. And of course, that's probably for not this fall, but the next fall. There might be a few kids that are still undecided, but I think most of it's for the following year. But yeah, so far so good. He's just getting going,
and he'll be coaching the offensive line, I assume.
Yes, offensive line.
Well, yeah, we were talking off air about the coaching business. It can be a tough business when sometimes you lose your job, you got to find another one. And but obviously Quincy knows what he wants to do. And I was going to tell you that my son's a couple years younger than Quincy, but he's still trying to figure out what he wants to do. So yeah. at least Quincy knows what he wants to do.
Yeah, it's just fitting it in somewhere and figuring it out. And so, yeah.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit of real estate, too, with all your travels. Have you been able to keep up with work and everything?
Thank goodness. It's very hard when you're traveling, but I have great people and great friends in the business that help me out. And, shout out to them for helping me while I am out of town. So, yeah, it just seems like whenever you go on a vacation or whenever you leave town, that's when things happen. It's kind of Murphy's Law for real estate. But it's going well. I've had busy 2006 so far, busier than kind of I thought I was going to have. You just never know. You'll get a call out of the blue, or someone that you met along the way will, repeat business or new business. It's just really unpredictable at times as to what's happening. So,
well, I'm feeling like a lot of jobs you can still do some of your work when you're on the road, can't you?
Yes, I can. You have your computer and you can do a lot of the paperwork, which a lot of it is paperwork. But and like I said, when closings happens or showings that have to be done, I have really great people that I have gotten to know in this business and my company, and they are willing to jump in and help me out, and I'll do the same for them as they know. So.
Do you have any specific properties that you're working on right now or trying to get rid of?
I actually, right now, I don't have a listing. I have one coming on the goal is to get it listed June 6th, I believe. And it's a ranch home in old Uptown Ankeny, single story, three bedrooms. And hopefully, I was just working on the paperwork for it today, and we're going to get the pictures soon. So that'll be coming on the market here soon. And they actually bought a house, and we close on that June 1st. So they're actually closing on that one, and then they're going to get this one listed. So,
all right.
Yeah, I got a lot going on. So it's all good stuff.
Are you typically pretty busy in the summertime?
Yeah, I feel like all the time. When I was in Arizona this winter, I didn't think I'd be that busy, and I was busy. It's very unpredictable at times. And as I've always said, I like to talk about Ankeny and all the great things about Ankeny, living here and the opportunities. We just continue to grow as you drive around town and you look at all the new developments that are happening. We're still growing and people are still moving here. And not that I just sell in Ankeny, I don't, but a lot of my business is Ankeny. So yeah, I've been busy, and I'm anticipating my summer being kind of busy too. So.
Yeah, I was telling you off air about my schedule. Of course, I just covered the state track meet, and now I've got 2 more weeks of soccer to go along with baseball and softball. So that's one of the good things about my job, is I know when the busy times are going to be, and then I know when it's going to slow down a little bit. I know I've got some slower months coming, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so. I hear you.
But yeah, I know in your business, you can't do that because you have some ups and downs, don't you?
You do.
Well, hey, Janae, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it. And hey, I'm sure I'll have you in again.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dan. Take care.
You bet. Right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and is the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. And we appreciate their support. All right, well, my final two guests tonight are joining me. To my left is the head coach of the Ankeny Girls Golf Team, and she is in her third season with the program. She is Kelly Emke. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good. And to my right, as a sophomore and the number one player for the Hawkettes, she qualified for this week's Class 4A state meet as an individual by placing fifth in a regional meet on Wednesday at Copper Creek, where she carded a 10 over par 81. She's Madeline Ross. Madeline, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Good.
All right. I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Before we preview the state meet, let's look back at how we got here. Madeline, you told me after the regional meet that you were definitely hoping to qualify for state, but considering that you're only a sophomore, you weren't going to feel too bad if you didn't. And you also told me that on your first hole, you were talking to one of your opponents about how you were trying to treat the meet as a normal high school meet and not as a state qualifying meet. So it sounds like you were pretty relaxed. I mean, you weren't putting too much pressure on yourself, were you?
Yeah, it's just focused on just letting it be how it is. It wasn't too much.
Yeah. And coach, is that pretty typical of Madeline's approach to meets, you know, that she doesn't try to make them any bigger than what they are?
I would say that's something that she's worked on like all year, and that we definitely saw a change in her, like towards the end of the season, that she was putting a little bit less pressure on herself to like always be the best, but instead to like just play her best game and know that like at the end of the day, golf is a hard sport because you can't control what other people do. You could shoot the best score you've ever had and someone else might shoot a better score and then it's their best. So you just kind of have to focus on that. And I think she's worked really hard on just like staying in her head and not trying to like, you know, figure out how to beat everyone around her, but just like keep herself locked in.
And Madeline, I was out there for a while and followed you on your first couple of holes. If I remember right, you know, didn't you miss a short putt on your first hole, which would have been number 10?
Yes.
So, you know, apparently you didn't have any trouble coming back from that though, huh?
No, I don't. I try not to let it impact me too much and just focus on the next hole and keep going.
Well, I was hoping that you know, shot wouldn't come back to bite you, but I'm glad that it didn't. And coach, you told me afterwards that Madeline didn't even pay attention to her score and was then surprised to find out that she had qualified for state. Now, were you following the scores yourself and did you have any idea that she was in contention?
That day I tried to like disconnect from Kodiak too. I think sometimes Kodiak can be great and like Golf Genius or like whatever we're using, but other times it puts the pressure on me, it puts the pressure on them, because like we look and we're like, oh my gosh, we're in second or we're in third, and then it's like we're only four strokes away, and so then we start thinking constantly about like I gotta get every shot back. So I told them, I was like, my main goal for today is that you guys first have fun, because we don't know, it could be our last golf meet or it could be a preemptive to state, and we want to enjoy that experience either way. So I checked on the scores here and there and checked on Madeline, but what I tried not to do is scroll to the leaderboard. And then I just remember at one point, because the meet went so fast that day, like I mean they were like, especially her group was moving, then I looked and I think she had three holes left, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's doing so good, I gotta get up there and see her and make sure, you know, like she stays calm and doesn't need anything. And I could just tell right when I walked up that she had no idea, just from just like her demeanor and how composed she was, and her whole family was like, don't tell her, don't say anything, and I was like, I got it. So she took a kind of a little bit of a risk on her last hole, and that's what told me for sure she had no idea, because she wasn't on number 9 at Copper. You can hit your driver and it can end up putting you in great position for a birdie, or you can hit your driver and it means you're going to get a bogey. And so we kind of talked about that in our practice round. And I always think it's great when Madeline takes risks like that, because in golf it can be hard to like be like, no, I'm going to take this risk because I'm going to go for like the best score and I know I can get it. And unfortunately her ball just rolled behind a tree. But she ended up getting a bogey, which is still perfectly fine. And we take bogeys all the, you know,
sure,
like those are still fine to take, especially when you're getting birdies and pars and a lot of other holes that day. But, yeah. So, and then at the end, she was like, I gotta go check in my card. And I was like, no, you need to come here. You need to celebrate this with me, with your family. Like, you need to take a little minute, because she played great.
Well, there were some really good teams at that regional. Mm-hmm. Southeast Polk won the team title on its home course, and Waterloo West was just four strokes behind the Rams and also qualified for state. The Wauman sisters from Southeast Polk, Kate and Anna, they swept the top two individual places by shooting scores of 70 and 75. So, coach, going into the meet, I mean, did you think that Madeline was capable of making it to state, you know, as an individual, if your team didn't make it?
Yeah, I definitely thought she was capable. I knew she was going to have to play, like, her best golf. But the nice thing was is that not just her, but a lot of our players were just hitting the ball so solid that last week. Copper is a really hard course to putt on. And I think the fact that we played it in meets the 2 weeks before, and then we also did a practice round, really kind of gave us a little bit more of an advantage that, like, those were their normal greens. Like, I made the joke, like, we play this more than Otter right now. Like, we've been at Copper more than we had at Otter. So I think that was helpful. But she has all the potential. She has every bit of potential to shoot par. We just have to keep working on, like, those little things, knowing when to take risks, knowing when to pull back. And that's all just part of growing in competitive golf.
And Madeline, like Coach just mentioned, this was your third time playing Copper, actually your fourth time, I guess, in the last few weeks, because you guys also played in the Southeast Polk Invitational there on May 7th. Then the second round of the conference meet was also played there on May 13th. So how much did that help you to become, you know, that familiar with the course, you know, over those rounds?
I definitely think it helped because the greens at Otter are so much different than the greens at Copper. And just those times that I got to play those greens and putt on those greens definitely helped me. And I knew how they would act rather than not having played it 3 weeks in a row.
And Coach, I just wanted to ask you about the performance of your entire team before we move on to the state meet. Your squad placed fifth at the regional meet with a 371 total. That was your season best score, and you were just four strokes out of third place. Aubrey Moeller had a 91. Gabby Haga fired a 95. Tenley Billner had your fourth scoring round of the 104, and I believe that was her personal best score. Mm-hmm. So you have to, you know, feel awfully proud of the whole team and how much, you know, they improved this year.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about at the beginning of the season, their goal, like their stretch goal or goal, as we call it, was 360. And we obviously didn't get there, but I think what's important is we improved 19 strokes between our first meet and our last meet as a team. And so what we really tried to talk about was, like, imagine if you improve 19 strokes before next season, and then we improve another 10 or 15 during season. Like, you're right in there. We're swinging with, like, the top two teams. And that is our whole team goal next year. I don't even think it's a mountain goal next year. I think the five returning varsity players all are really set on, and they're really invested in, like, going to the Aubrey host golf club in the summer. Just basically means she sets up a time for all of them to get together once a week. They've all talked about that. They've talked about doing, like, a league on simulators and stuff, whether it be at someone's house or going to, like, a place. So I think that not only is, like, their experience of, like, getting that taste of success, but also missing success by, like, so much really motivated them. But I also think, like, seeing that it is attainable, like, Madeline made it to state, and she's not, like, this big, like, star that they've never talked to or, like, all these things. She's just one of their teammates, so we can all do that and see those improvements. So I think it's really set us up nicely to reach their goal for next year, hopefully.
All right, well, let's talk about state now. The 4A meet will be held on Thursday and Friday at the Waverly Municipal Golf Course. Madeline, you're Ankeny's first individual state qualifier since 2021. Back then, J.C. Webb qualified, and she went on to place ninth. So what do you know about the Waverly course? Have you had a chance to play it?
Yes, we just played it on Sunday. The fairways were definitely longer than I'm used to, but I'm definitely going to just play them how I know that they are and go from there.
And Coach, you played in the state meet back in the day when you were in high school and playing for your mom's teams. Have you given Madeline any advice, you know, yet as far as how to approach the meet? And do you want her to treat it like she would any other meet?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that a lot, like focusing on the big picture when we're there. But I mean, we have a 2-hour car ride tomorrow together, so I figure we'll talk about it a little bit more there. But a lot what I've talked to her about so far is just, like, realistic expectations and not going into it thinking, like, I have to win or I have to do this. Like, it is such a huge accomplishment to make it to state as a sophomore. So seeing this as, like, an experience, we obviously want her to be successful. I told her today, I definitely can see you, like, in that top 10 where you get medals and things like that. But that doesn't mean you have to. Like, we need to focus on, like, how amazing it is that you made it and the growth between last year and this year and just how much she set herself up to keep growing in the next 2 years.
Well, Madeline will be playing on day one with Catherine Perfect of Council Bluffs Lewis Central and Harper Wilson of Marshalltown. There are two other individual qualifiers. Now, you currently boast a combined average of 46.5 strokes for nine holes, which ranks, I believe, 52nd in Class 4A. And both of those girls that you'll be playing with have similar averages. So do you like playing with partners, you know, who maybe have similar abilities? Is it kind of intimidating to play with somebody who's just, like, really, really good?
Yeah, I definitely think I would prefer to play with people who are around my same scoring range, just because I know that I'll play with them and not have a ton more strokes than them or a ton less strokes than them.
Well, Coach, this will be a nice new experience for you, too, because Madeline is your first state qualifier.
Yeah.
And since the rest of the team won't be playing, you'll be able to follow her around, you know, for her entire rounds. You know, that should help you get a better feel for how she's playing, right? Because you won't just have to, like, pop in every, you know, few holes here and there.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure I'll know exactly how she's playing. But I think that Madeline also knows that if there's, like, a point where it's, like, too much or whatnot, she's really comfortable. And we are taking, like, our number two with us. Aubrey just so she has like a teammate there, because I thought that would be so lonely to be like 2.5 hours from home and have, you know, no one you can talk to but your coach for 4 hours. But she can't really talk to Aubrey, but she can get like smiles and, you know, things like that from her. So I think that will be helpful. But again, something we were going to talk about tomorrow, but just that, like, if it's too much or you're just like, I don't want to talk about my shots anymore, they're going great or they're not going great, you know, like I'll just kind of pull back and watch for a couple holes and then we'll try to get back to that. Because, you know, ultimately she has worked the hardest to get here. And so I trust that she knows when she needs something and when she wants her coach to just kind of sit back and, you know, watch.
Well, I'm sure you've maybe already experienced this, but yeah, if you have a player who's playing really well, maybe as a coach, you don't need to say anything, right?
Yeah. Oh, I try really hard not to. No, I try not to. Like when she was on that number nine, everything in me was like, oh yeah, we should just play this safe. Like, let's just get the par. But she was like, nope, I'm going to hit my driver. And I was like, you know what? She shot this well doing what she wants to do. So we're going to let her keep having that control. And sure, like, but she could have still got a bogey. Like that's the whole point, is like, we don't know like what could happen. And I think she did a great job on that last hole, keeping composed. Knowing that, like, I mean, I think she knew she was playing well. I think she can tell that she was playing at her, at least equal to her best rounds. But I think the key was she didn't know how everyone else was playing other than the two people she was with. And I hope she keeps that for state, just to kind of stay in the moment with her game.
Well, there will be a new individual champ this year. As last year's champion, Morgan Rupp of Linmar, graduated last spring. Ainsley Wilson of Iowa City West, she leads Class 4A with a 36.5 average, and that's about two strokes better than the number two golfer. I'm probably going to botch her name, but it's Celia Vivon Vong of Des Moines East. So, Madeline, do you pay much attention to who the top golfers are around the state and how you might compare to them, or are you just trying to focus on yourself and your own game?
I just try and focus on myself and my own game. I don't really pay attention to others that I just don't want to have that in my mind. Really?
Well, like Coach said, I mean, you can't do anything about their scores anyway, right? You just have to go out and play your own game, right?
Yes.
Well, Coach, I asked Madeline earlier about the Waverly course, and I want to get your thoughts, too. You know, what will be the keys for her to have success on that course?
Well, number one, I think that she hits her driver really well and she hits it pretty far. And this is a fairly short course compared to like Otter, what we're used to, or even like Copper. Like we had quite a few par fours that were right over 300 to 350 yards. And so if she can hit her driver off the tee well, that will set her up really well to get on the green in regulation. And that's kind of what we figured out on Sunday, was that like getting on these greens in regulation is the key, because sometimes the putts are really long or really hilly, and that they're just really different from what we're used to. And obviously she's not going to get to play it like over and over and over again to get used to that. So I think being able to hit the green in regulation as much as she can, so that sometimes a three putt doesn't really hurt you, it's just a bogey then, right? So and I think that's what we talked about a little bit. And so she did a great job of like, we hit, you know, she hit different clubs, and it looks like we're gonna have no wind basically and really beautiful weather, so that would be different for Madeline to play in. But I think hopefully that'll help her game, that she doesn't have to constantly be like, okay, is the wind with me or against me, is it a crosswind, all those things. So I think that will be helpful, just to kind of stay in the moment, that you're not having to consider all of these different factors, but it might be a little there too.
And Madeline, have you set a goal for yourself going into the meet? You know, is there a certain score that you think you can shoot on that course, or a certain place that you'd like to achieve?
Shot an 83 on Sunday, so I just want to stay with that or better if possible, which I think I can, because I definitely know that I left a lot of strokes out there that I could have gotten off.
Well, for your first time playing it, that's a pretty good score, isn't it?
Yeah, she did great.
And Coach, I'm sure you just want Madeline to have fun and enjoy the experience, you know, because not every kid gets to go to state. You kind of touched on that earlier. Mm-hmm. And if she just tries her hardest, you know, you'll probably be okay with whatever score she shoots, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. As long as she's not going out there, like, skating putts off the green and, you know, not taking it seriously, then I will be very happy. And I don't ever envision any of my golfers doing that, because they wouldn't want to deal with probably me or Coach Jack afterwards. So, yeah, as long as she is Madeline, she'll do great, and we'll be so proud of her for being, you know, kind of my first golfer, but, you know, the first AHS one in quite a while to make it there. So we're hoping it starts a tradition that we just keep going back like we did in the early 2000s.
Well, thank you both for coming in today. I appreciate your time. I know it's a busy week, and good luck up there in Waverly.
Thank you.
You bet. You've been listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny boys tennis coach Ron Miller and junior Garrett Weikers from the Hawks team. We had Ankeny girls golf coach Kelly Emke and sophomore golfer Madeline Ross. Appreciate the time from all those folks, as well as realtor Janae Griffith. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.